Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. This time, Pastors Brock Meyer and Andrew Hale lead an evening of vision casting for the church family. Seek excellence and see greater impact. Well, hey, everybody, so glad you could be here with us. How about that food downstairs, especially second round, leftovers? Thank you so much, Chris. Had a great idea. We're going to pack some of that up to send home with you all. And if you're interested and have somebody that you know of that might benefit from some extra food, somebody that might have need, would love to do that as well. That chicken hit anybody right in the right spot. Some nods. Vicky, great hand raising. Well, hey, there's something about worshiping together in our sanctuary, right? There's something about fellowshipping together over a meal, to be together, to enjoy food, and to just be in it together, to be in ministry, to be in volunteer work, to be in a church family together. It's significant. It makes a difference. And we can even see in, maybe it's in our lives, or maybe it's in lives or even places on social media. Maybe you've seen it in the news where there's just different groups of people that they work towards creating groups, where they work towards creating spaces where they can be in intimate relationship together. And they try to duplicate the depth of relationship that we know that we find as a church family and in Jesus. And so many of those places are helpful and good, but in Jesus there is unending depth and there is eternal promise. How neat that we get to have that together. Well, hey, I've got some gift cards here. We want to recognize and honor some different folks that have volunteered through the years or even recently. And so just a couple things we want to do, just a little bit of have some fun here as we're jumping into tonight. First one is it's going to maybe even require a partner. If you've got food, you might need to put it down. Open bottles or drink, if you would please set those to the side. And if the first person to place this item in my hand will receive a Meyer gift card. All right, so are we ready for this one? Vicky's got her bag open and ready. All right, so if the first person to place a pen in my hand, hustle, hustle, quick, fast, run. We have a winner, and you can have the pen back as well. Fantastic. Well, hey, let's do a second one of those. Let's see. Panera Bread gift card. Item in your possession. Let's see if you have a house key. If you have a house key, if you put that in my hand as quickly as can be. Quick, hustle, hustle. Three house keys. Can I have one? All right, well, there's a Panera gift card. Congratulations, Jane. Fantastic. Well, hey, a question I'll ask is, if you think back to Sunday, it may or may not have been in the bulletin, meaning it definitely was in the bulletin. First person to tell me how much was raised by the volunteers in the parking lot over James Dean Day weekend to the dollar. Nope. Anybody? $909,099. I'm going to give the ding, ding, ding winner to Jen for $1,200. Well done. Congratulations. Dairy Queen gift card. Run that down to you. The official number was $1,198. $9,000. That'd be a record year. Well, hey, somebody's... You see how far that takes you. Good clarification. These gift cards are for $15 a piece. If you go for $200, you might be disappointed, but thanks for playing. One of our pastors on staff... birthday is coming up. Anybody be able to tell me when Pastor Brock's birthday is? The first hand I saw was Alyssa Meyer. Betty, what do you got? Oh my goodness. Pastor Brock, is that correct? There it is. Do you like seafood? Perfect. Fantastic. Hey, hey. Fantastic. Well, hey, another one I want to throw out there is, who is somebody here that is probably thinks that they've served on the most number of committees? Does anybody have any idea how many committees they've served on? We're talking volunteers here. However many you've served on. Several. We don't want to say how many. So I'm hearing Terry. Are we hearing Tanner? That's Terry. Well, hey, it's not Fazoli's, but we've got an Olive Garden, Longhorn Steakhouse, Cheddar's, Bahama Breeze, assorted gift card for you all. Thank you for your work and your service through the years. I got two more. One being, could anybody tell me the name of a Taylor student who came to service recently? Bishop. What was the last one? Can anybody here confirm a name? Any of those, Bishop or Maggie? Fantastic. Betty. Yes. All right, and then I got one more. We had a lot of fun with it, so I need one more item in my hand. I won't crush them, but I need a pair of glasses in my hand. Like glasses, like eyeglasses. Perfect. There you go. All right, Domino's gift card. Fantastic. Well, hey, thank you so much for participating. Well done, church family. Hey, does anybody want a t-shirt? Nobody. All right. And then I got a tumbler. Anybody interested in a tumbler? Christian, fantastic. Awesome. Well, hey, something that we're doing, we talked about it downstairs. If you need a size replacement, you can see me after the service. Over here, we've got some different clipboards and information for you. We're looking at some new designs for the church family. And so a couple of those are some t-shirt designs. We've got two different options that you can see. Fully alive is the words across it, as well as looking at John 10:10 as that theme verse. It's a verse we've talked about a lot on Sundays. It's a verse that I know the Meyer family lives by. And so to look at that, if you're interested in one of those here on the side, you can sign up for either of those designs and then indicate which one you're interested in. We also are looking, if you look towards maybe a more professional view or more presentation-esque approach, we've got some polo shirt designs that we're looking at as well. And so they've got Fairmount Friends Church logo across the chest there. And so if you have one of those that you like, would love to have you sign up for one of those as well. One more item is we're looking at some tumblers. We just tossed one of those out. This is a new design, new style through Yeti. And so this design is where the church logo is actually lasered into their material. And so that should be long-lasting. Should be a really nice thing to be able to have. So again, if you're interested in those things, they'll be up here for you to sign up for them. And if you miss it tonight, it'll be available for the next few weeks as we look to gain some interest there with those things. Well, hey, I heard a story once about a family who hosted an exchange student, and she was very interested to learn about the culture here in the U.S., and so they came to church with the family because they invited her along. And they got to church, they found their place to sit, and it was a warm day, and so they'd opened the doors to the church building. Sound familiar? Often the church doors are open. Love it when we get to do that. And so let the breeze in to get that flow, maybe some outdoor traffic noise going on. And right before church started, a huge Newfoundland dog came bounding in through the open doors, ran up to the altar, turned around and faced the congregation, and barked a couple times, and then ran right back down the aisle, out the door, and everybody was stunned. Like, what just happened? And so to this day, in 3.5 decades of regular church attendance, the only other dog they'd seen was a service dog. And so the exchange student looked around at the people sitting quietly who were stunned, seemingly not reacting, and gave a very confused look and said, "Is that normal? Like, why are you not responding to that? Is that just a normal thing?" And so just thinking about that, just kind of a neat, fun little is it possible that a Newfoundland dog would come running through on a Sunday morning? Kind of a neat thing to think about as we're looking at this idea of, as Fairmount Friends, you know, we're a church family, and we want to keep that family feel. And as we're looking at that, also, is it possible there's areas that we could look to become more sharp, more excellent, with the purpose of not just we want to look good in the community, but we want to become more excellent so that we could possibly have a greater or further reaching impact. Some fun quotes about volunteers that I was looking at. I've got a friend whose name is Buddy the Elf, and he's got a quote here that we'll be throwing up on the slides. All right, it's if you scroll down to the section that has announcements, that's where my slides are for my talk. Yep, so Buddy the Elf, I just love volunteering. Volunteering is my favorite. Also got a good friend by the name of Grumpy Cat. Grumpy Cat had something to say about volunteering. Did I volunteer or was I voluntold? On a bit more sweet note, we got a quote here talking about, don't ever question the value of volunteers. Noah's Ark was built by volunteers and the Titanic was built by professionals. And then one more for you there. A good exercise for the heart is to bend down and help another. And so I think about a story where I wasn't excellent, looking at this idea of hospitality, as we look at AV, as we look at communications, children and youth, an area where I wasn't excellent is I had just been up at Purdue, involved with Campus Crusade, and so while I didn't love approaching people, I still was like, okay, I know how to do this, I know how to like greet somebody, I know how to walk up and initiate a spiritual conversation, and so I'm back at home, it's winter break, and there's this new family that came to church and said, all right, I've got this. I know how to do this. I'm going to walk up to them. I'm going to say exactly the right thing. And so I walk up. I'm excited. I'm nervous. And I overreacted a bit. I tried to be too helpful too quickly. I came on very strong. I gave them my phone number. I said, hey, here's my card. Here's my number. Would love to connect with you. Grab a meal next week if you're interested. You know, would love to follow up with you. And wouldn't you know it? We never saw them again. And so I can look at that, and while we can laugh about that story, for a while it really bothered me, right? It was something like, man, I knew how to do the things, I knew how to do the stuff, and I got to do it, but then I didn't maybe do it in the most approachable or even comforting or encouraging or welcoming way. And so maybe there's some of those pieces that we could glean from tonight, as well as some future conversations. But with that, you know, thinking back to Pastor Brock's message this last week, right, we get to make that headline. And so I could look back at that time and be like, man, that was just an area where I just messed it up. I failed. I just really needed to grow from that. Instead, I can look at it as I tried, right? I did it. I went up and I bombed it. But I still put myself out there and made myself look silly. But I still followed through with seeking after inviting somebody into that place. And so the heart for tonight is to seek excellence with the purpose of then hopefully seeing some greater or more impactful impact. And so again, as we're looking at our Sunday service, as we look at hospitality, as we look at AV, communications, our children and youth, are there areas, maybe you're involved already, maybe you've not been able to much up to this point, I would love to get you plugged in. And so I'm going to welcome up Pastor Brock Meyer as he's going to take us from here and speak more into some of these aspects. So Pastor Brock, thank you so much.
Thanks, Pastor Andrew. Thanks, guys. That was a louder applause with a couple dozen people than we do when the church is full. That was great. Amen, brother. We got the amener crowd here. I want to start by reading a passage of scripture. This is Psalm 78, and this is a psalm that's written by the poet Asaph. And as we begin to break down this psalm, it really is a look back on the promises of God and how he's consistently been faithful in the life of those that he's called, which I believe it would be our church tonight. And then the cautions if we don't obey. And if we don't continue to walk in what he's called us to do. And then there's a really cool challenge of excellence that I pull from it. So in Psalm 78 and in verse 2, it says, I will open my mouth with a parable, which I love because Jesus just told a whole bunch of stories. and he tells these parables as how he relates the kingdom of God to the people. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. And as he begins to talk about the ancestors, I begin to think that this church was planted. We were a church plant from Back Creek Friends, and Back Creek Friends was a church plant from Jonesboro Friends. And so we've got a legacy and generation here, and this was established in 1851 right across the street. And they basically built a shed, and they quickly outgrew it, and they built a bigger shed that seated about 40 people until it burnt down, and then they walked across the street, and in 1891, can you believe that they would build a pretty significant size church like this? We were worshiping, Fairmount Friends was worshiping before the Civil War. Is that wild? In 1851. And so we're going to talk about the things that our ancestors have planted here. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of our Lord, his power and the wonders that he has. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they will in turn tell their children. So this passage of scripture is really talking about a multi-generational impact of a message of the Word of God that's going to transcend generations. I don't know about you, but I love being a part of a multi-generational church. I love that up until a year and a half ago, we had 101-year-old Henry Wayne. And I love that we've got brand new, you know, babies that are being born. And we've got about 4 to 5 generations in this church. How can we continue to be a church that's able to effectively hit all of these generations without ostracizing any to feel like, well, this is just an old church. Well, this is just a young church. Well, this is just that sort of a church. How can we, with excellence, be able to pass down from generation to generation the Word of God effectively? Skip to verse 12. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors. He divided the sea and he led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with a cloud by day and with light from a fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and he gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of the rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. I love the idea of a church that knows their God, that has the Word of God preached to them unapologetically, and boasts in a mighty, mighty God. That is our church, and that is our boast. We boast in one so much bigger than us, and we will yield to Scripture, and we're going to trust God to continue to do amazing things in our church, in our families, in our community, in our school, in the whole surrounding area. God is going to faithfully make the mountains flat. He's going to make the crooked path straight. He's going to consistently be here for us like he has for the last 170 years. And so we continue to bank on that sort of a God. Verse 32, in spite of all of this, though, the people kept sinning. In spite of his wonders, they did not believe. So he ended their days in futility and their years in terror, as he began to march them through the wilderness. And I don't know about you, but this puts a holy fear in my heart whenever it comes to serving God and what he's called us to do, to not play around. But for us to say, yes, God, and not just yes so that I can serve on the kitchen committee, or yes so that I can serve in hospitality, or yes so I can serve down in the nursery, that my heart would come before the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm so in love with you. Because the problem here is they were sinning. And when they started sinning, their hearts shifted from delighting in the Lord to finding other delights. And so, Lord, you're the one thing. And so let me get my heart right, because whenever people are saying, do you want to serve and to be a volunteer? We wouldn't say, yeah, but that's just going to cost more time. Like, I got to give up a Tuesday night. and the food was late, and it was cold. Or it's like, Jesus, I'm just so in love, and what do you have for me? And the answer is yes. And so we first start with the heart, right? Because if it's just Brock asking to do more and to do more and to do more, maybe you'll do it, maybe because you like me, or maybe because you feel guilty. Or maybe you'll do it because you're in love with Jesus and the heart is just good. And what I would hate to see is people, this is no secret, but there's some good that's happening. And there is a move of God that is taking place. And it might not look like some flashy revival that perhaps we've seen on TV, but it is a slow, steady, consistent march into the hearts of our community, into the homes and marriages of people. And it is, you know what I think is going to happen? We're going to be the slowest growing church on earth. And I'm totally cool with that. I've read books, the fastest growing church in America, and I've read articles, they're the fastest growing church. I'm like, you know what? I want to be consistent. And even if we're the slowest, but we're the growing church in our community, in the surrounding area, that we're going to consistently march. And our hearts are just going to stay locked into Jesus. Because when they begin to chase other lovers, and we leave him, the Lord says, if you will deny me, I will deny you. And so, again, as we make this kind of this plea for volunteers, for the excellence of a vision that we're looking for, let's get connected not just only to a vision, but to the vision giver, to the dream giver. Let's get connected to the Lord. So let's just get our hearts right there and just kind of check into the presence real quick. Some challenges that we're going to make, and I'm going to own every single challenge that this ministry is not awesome in many ways, and it falls on me as the leader. And maybe you can do some personal audits in your own heart and say, Jesus, with an unoffended heart, I sit before you right now, Lord. And maybe there's some areas where I haven't always been awesome, and where can I learn and try to be more excellent in how I serve? Man, what a great challenge for the heart. We don't want our days to end in futility. So the lack of fruit to where you would maybe go your whole life and now it's you're 50, 60, 70 years old and then you just kind of spiral and fade out. But that you would continue to crescendo as you walk up. Bobby, turn around. Oh, is your heart pitter-pattering? Oh man, that was like a reverse wedding. Joe walking down the aisle. We want to end, right? Just full of fruit, full of sons and daughters, disciples all around us. Verse 68, he says, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. God just decided to show his affection on a tribe. There were 12 of them, but he didn't have the same affection for 11 others. Isn't that fascinating? But he raised up one in Judah, which came King David, which came Rahab, which came all of these people, which ultimately came Jesus. And there was one. And I'm just saying, Jesus, we just want to live right. We just want to, as your eyes are looking to and fro throughout the tribes, land on us because we're diligently seeking you. We're diligently engaging our community. We're diligently, to the best of our ability, my and Pastor Andrew's ability, teaching the Word of God. The best of our ability, we're trying to seek the presence in our worship. To the best of our ability, when new people are coming in, we're trying to meet them and connect them to the love of Jesus. Lord, as your eyes range to and fro, would they land upon Fairmount Friends, and would you strengthen us with might? Would all of heaven be backing what we're doing the way that you chose Judah? Would you choose us? It says that he chose, he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And here's the challenge that we want to take on tonight. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands, he led them. Integrity of heart, and with skillful hands. And so when our hearts are good, and then we get really good at what he's called us to do, I just can't help but believe that puts a smile on the Father heart of God. And so how can we serve our community with integrity in our hearts and with skillful hands? Let's be excellent at what we do. And if we're going to do ministry, how can we be excellent at what we do? One of the things that I think that we're really good at, where'd my list go? This could be a short night. Here it is. One of the things I think that we just naturally have is that we're a small town church. And I like the feel of a small town church. I've had friends come in from all over different big cities, and they've got the worship band and the lights and the smoke, and they got the whole deal. And they're like, do you know how refreshing it was to actually open up a hymnal to page 47 and only sing verses 1, 3, and 5? They're like, that just, the simplicity of just coming back, you mean there was no smoke and lights, it was just Jesus? I'll tell you, one of the coolest encounters I had when I first started 9 years ago, is I'm sitting up here on the stage when we had the pews up there, and I'm sitting up there, and I'm thinking, man, what's Pastor Ron doing right now in Crown Point? What's Hillsong Worship doing? What's Elevation doing right now? And I look down here, and 91-year-old Shirley Miller is playing the marimba. I'm like, I don't care what they're doing. Because Shirley is taking like the widow's mite. She's taking her two pennies before the Lord, and she's offering to Jesus. I was like, this is pure and undefiled worship right here. Like, just the purity of just offering your gift before the Lord was just so cool to me. And the beauty of who we are is we don't have to try to make up it, right? Make it up. We don't have to make up it. We don't have to try to be anything other than the small town charm that we have. This building is unbelievably gorgeous, and it's beautiful in the old school way that it is. Is there anything else that we could do to make this building sharp and excellent, to help people encounter the Lord and to encounter a church family even more? So the first one that I want to talk about is our hospitality. Whenever it comes to someone walking in to our church, what kind of hospitality, feel do we have? Whenever they come in, do they feel automatically connected? And is there simple ways to get connected? Is there not just only greeters, but a greeter team? So I know this Sunday I'm supposed to be a greeter. This happened one time when we personally had friends that came in. They came in, they sat down, and didn't have anybody say hi to them, got up to leave, and I'm like, hey, did we make sure that we got Tim one of those gift bags? And they're like, oh, shoot, no. And we got these beautiful gift bags that are made up, and they got a card and a tumbler in them and all this sort of stuff. And I'm grabbing gift bags. I'm running out into the parking lot. Hey, guys, we wanted to give this stuff to you. And I'm thinking, oh, this is just so not sharp. Like, could we get better? Is this an area that maybe we could get better? Well, there's just some people that says, you know what? Like a bulldog, I want to own that thing of the greeter team, right? And I might not have to greet every single person, but I can organize something like that. And so, hey, Chris, you know, you're up next Sunday, and Jane, you're the following, and Bobby, right? We just kind of organize something to when they walk in. When they walk in, do they know where to go? Do they know where the kids are supposed to, like, what's happening with them? So many times I recruit my own children if I see kids. I'm like, hey, your kids are probably my kids' age. I'm like, Ronnie, come over here. This is little Susie. And make sure that whenever we dismiss for kids, you're grabbing Susie and taking them down there. And just trying to be helpful. Many times they'll just stand up and they'll just, okay, there's a pack of people that are walking on the stage right now, walking through the front door of the stage. Is that where they go? And we got to do a better job, I believe, me and Pastor Andrew, of communicating those sort of things. But if they were greeted as soon as they walked in, and hey, here's what's going to happen in the service, okay? And for a few minutes, nobody's going to talk. Don't freak out. Nobody forgot what's going to happen next. But we just, as a greeter, we just show great hospitality. If someone were to walk into your home, wouldn't you greet them? Just say, it's great to have you here. I love whenever people come up to me afterwards, like, man, six people came up, introduced their names. I don't know any of them, but man, this is a friendly church. Is that why you call yourself friends? Because we don't know what friends are. Yeah, we're friendly. But we want to communicate something like that. We're even trying to look at what could we do in our building to have some sort of a guest welcome area. And is this building built to help people connect to Jesus, or have we built a monument that has become a sacred cow that we can't touch certain areas because great-grandma donated that wall. And so now the wall is so sacred, we can't remove that wall. Or something like that. And I see that we're kind of chuckling and we're giggling. It's true. That's why you're laughing. And we want to put nameplates on. I'm the one that donated that pew, and I sat there for 40 years. And so we just got to be super careful because I know there's casualties. People are willing to die on those hills, and it's not worth it. But maybe it's worth exploring. Would it be an excellent move for us to help people get connected? I don't believe that we're going to grow backwards. I don't think that we're going to have a Gideon revival where we're going to get smaller. I think we're only going to get bigger. And so an option is, do we build like this whole like new wing and, you know, all this, you know, brand new building? The answer to that right now is no. Can we utilize any of this space that we do have and maybe try to get a little bit better? And so these are just some questions that we're asking. What if we had some of our men's group maybe that they just had umbrellas ready? And we just knew it's raining and we've got 7 guys out there. And they're individually walking them in. What great hospitality would that be? That we've got, guy, you just pull up right here, and we park your car for you, and you walk straight into the elevator. Something like that. To where there's some sort of great hospitality moves. And it's not only for new guests. It's for those that have been coming for years and for years that they get good service like that. Our AV. Man, has AV gone to another place because of COVID. Right? We didn't have cameras and Facebook Live and all the recordings that we've got going on now, but we've had to get good at this. We're not excellent, but we're trying to get good at least. And so this is another area where we just need more help. And so the amount of volunteers is getting slimmer. And as we've had some that have been high school students that have graduated, they're heading off to college, and we just need more. And then also, if that's an area where like, man, I'm super interested in that, and I can push play on the camera, and I can kind of follow him around because, man, he paces around too much, or, you know, I know how to hit record, and I can turn up the, you know, the mic buttons, but I'm also willing to learn, to where you'd say, yes, Lord. And more than just a duty, it becomes a ministry. And God, I want to serve you in this way. One of the things that we want to try to create are distraction-free environments, where people can come into the presence of the Lord without distractions and say, man, that was a clear message. Man, how to engage in the presence was so clear. And there wasn't, you know, I didn't know where to go, or they're trying to, you know, stick a clipboard, you know, into my armpit, you know, while he's praying, or, you know, there's like some of those distractions that I have intentionally created. Unfortunately, I created the clipboard, pass it around, you know, and, you know, that just can become a distraction sometimes. Or, hey, go to the slide. Nope, it's the next, no, back one, okay, that one. No, you know, and like some of that stuff is where we're like, yeah, there it is, Andrew, thank you. Not that one, yeah, there it is. To where it's like, oh, man, I want to worship the Lord. I'm not only working unto man, but I'm actually working unto the Lord. And, man, do I own this with excellence. And we're here worshiping, and we're like, okay, I don't know this song, and the words aren't up there yet. Oh, there they are. Oh, no, wrong slide. To where they're like, man, it's just distraction-free. And I just know I'm just going to click that next slide. I'm going to click that next button. And just a team that just gets really good at that. Excellent in that service. That's another great area. Another thing is we're looking at our projector even now, and we might need some more equipment at some point. But our projector, it sits so far back, we have to unscrew the lens all the way out to maximize the length, and it's on the last rung right now. That lens weighs about 2 pounds, and if it drops from about 22 feet down onto Miss Betty's head, that is going to be a big issue. And by the grace of God, it hasn't. Are there any things, Betty, just worship by faith, not by sight, okay? And are there any things that could we be better at some of our tech stuff? We've added some visuals on the side. Is it worth maybe hanging a projector, you know, behind our speakers? Is it looking, we're just trying to see what can we do in our facility that can still keep the classic country charm of the building, but it just helps us get better in ministry. Whether that's our welcome center, it's a better projector, it's just better visuals are some of those things as well. here's something that happened. And I ask you guys, not with a critical heart, but just as a leader, to think as you audit our services, we've got about 70 minutes is what our service kind of flow is. And in the service flow, Andrew and I were timing things this last week. And a lot of times, Andrew will be up here, hey, it's great to have everybody. And then we have a couple announcements that we'll share. We'll get into, Alyssa will lead worship. Miss Kathy will get up. She'll do one. And we timed between the end of our last hymn until the choir began to sing was 40 seconds. Might not seem like a huge deal, but whenever there's 40 seconds here, there's 40 seconds here, and there's a minute and a half here, and Greg plays a 2.5 minute song to pick up the offering, and the offering really, I mean, we take it up in about 30 seconds. This stuff starts adding up, and there might be like 7 minutes just kind of like hanging out there. And we want to, man, can we have rich, deep worship for 15, 20 minutes? Can we preach the Bible for a half hour and still get done within an hour? But there's kind of all these extra minutes that are kind of floating around there that perhaps there's some areas where we can get better. One of them on our end, whenever it comes to announcements, is we put the announcements up there for 30 minutes as people are walking in. We print the announcements in the bulletin as long as we have them in plenty of time whenever we print them. We post them on our website and I believe on Facebook as well. And then we pick like the three most kind of the ones that are coming. And then we share those. Sometimes in the midst of the service, we're like, oh, I got one more announcement. We got one more thing. Can we also share? And those sometimes can add into the distraction of the worship. One of the things that Pastor Andrew and I are asking is if there is a pertinent announcement that needs to be made on a Sunday morning, can we have that communicated to us by Thursday, no later than Friday? Hey, we've got this thing that's coming up, and we just really need to make sure if you're signing up for Chili, that sign up is on the back table. Or if you lead a committee, communicate with your committee throughout the week that they should already know, instead of, hey, we also need to remind you that stewardship and finance is meeting, you know, next Thursday. Go ahead and call stewardship and finance or send them a text. That's just solid communication. For us as volunteers, let's be excellent in our communications so that we're communicating to those that are serving on our committees. I know when my meeting is. Don't need Andrew to share that on Sunday morning. Those are just maybe another 15 seconds there that could just be super helpful. Does that make sense? I don't want to nitpick, but those are just little areas that, man, could we get better in the way that we communicate our announcements? I feel like we've gotten so much better since Pastor Andrew's come here to give us great visuals. He gives us full color emails with all of those announcements. He sends emails multiple times throughout the week. Our Facebook video, multiple times, if not every week, we get comments back. Video's not up, video's running slow. I don't know if that's just country bumpkin internet and it just takes us a minute to get it going. We're still working some of those things out, but that's an area that we're trying to own. Okay, we got to get better at that because the service flow, people are enjoying our service, but they're not attending the service. And so in our service flow, can we get better there? Yes, the answer is yes. And we are trying to do that. We're also just, if you've noticed, we've kind of moved, when do we do announcements? Announcements is just that thing that needs to be done, but you just hate doing it. Because I've come to walk into the presence of the Lord, and I want to know him, and I want to be taught. And also, for me, I love for the scriptures to put me in the corner, and I've got to make some decisions, man. I got to wrestle through this decision. What is God saying to me? And I don't want all of the other stuff that's distracting me. Give me Jesus, right? And that's like some old Quakerisms in me. It's like no distractions. Like even back in the day, they wouldn't light fires during service, even if the church was heated by a fire, because the flame of the fire was a distraction to the presence of the Lord. So if we really want to be Quakers, we got to get rid of distractions, and we've got to try to engage the presence and the Word of God as much as we possibly can. Our quiet time, one of the things that I appreciate about our quiet time is just the ability to sit in the presence, but I also know that the Quakers of old would use that, and people that had seen God couldn't keep their mouth shut. And if you've got testimonies, God has done this in my life, man, I've been in the scriptures this week, and I want to share this verse. that we, because I believe that these are probably the leaders of the house, let's really own that personal worship time. And I just want to, man, I'm feeling like we ought to pray over Dan, you know, like we did this last, you know, week. But just let's lay our hands on him. Let's just believe God for a healing. Or I just see we've got some new Taylor students here. Can we just pray, God, that he would just bless them in the next 4 years? Whatever. But my heart is open to you, Jesus. And if you're wanting to talk to your church, would you do it through me? And let's own those little moments in our worship time. Because I believe it doesn't have to be a 2 or 3 minute pause. It can be a 2 or 3 minute the body of Christ is serving and blessing one another during those times. What else do we got? Oh, if you would love to be a part of a prayer team, rarely do we do altar calls. But there might be a time where you're like, I really want to minister to people. And Brock just, you know, had this message and people are responding to it. I would love to just feel like I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray for a breakthrough. I'll tell you, just by the default, most people are going to walk up to probably either me or Andrew. Is how that's just going to happen. Some of it is maybe we've got a deeper connection and you don't know. We've been doing marriage counseling with that couple and you just don't know it, but they want to pray. Maybe it's just the American thing. Well, it's the guy on the stage and I just like that guy on the stage and he's the anointed one. Whatever. That's just the realities of it. But there are times when the line is just 3 weeks ago. There's probably about 8 people standing in front of me. Wouldn't it be great if we had 8 people up here? And we believe that every person was anointed by God. And that everybody can come and encounter the Lord. And so they come up and they walk. And Terry holds their hands and just starts praying. And just loving Jesus with them. And let's just believe God for a breakthrough. To where the body of Christ is doing the work of the ministry. And so we just want to release the church to do the work of the ministry, right? So that's the goal, is that we would be equipped to do the stuff that Jesus has called us to do. And that's another cool area. When we look at our services on Sunday, man, are there some pieces that I could pick up and own it. If you're an usher, and there's times whenever, just to kind of save some time, okay, would the ushers come forward? Hey, one other announcement that we've got our Halloween party. Ushers, go ahead and come on forward. If you want to bring some chili cheese, ushers, come on down, come forward. Whenever it's time for offering, ushers, just know this is our time. This is what we do. Boom, ushers are down here. And that 10-second walk, another announcement just got out. And it's okay. There's nothing holy about all of us sitting and watching the ushers walk down. We can communicate and just get some more things done as we're doing that next little piece. That's going to happen. Also, as it comes with some of our tech things, we're looking at some different software right now that would actually, we could do online giving. And before you mentally check that out of your life and think, man, it just takes away the heart of giving, because I've kind of wrestled with that myself. Like, I love coming into the presence of the Lord to give to God, and I'm still kind of figuring this out. But I also know that I love the consistency that I know, because sometimes, you know, it's like every other week, or sometimes I get paid different if I do a funeral or things like that, and you're trying to figure all those things out, that if I can just say, Jesus, I just consistently want to be one that just knows that the very first fruit that comes out of all of my money is to you. And so the very first day, I can automatically make sure that just like I'm paying any other bill, not that paying Jesus is a bill, but in the same kind of mindset, before any other bill goes out, I want to make sure that I'm giving to the church. And when they have online options to give, they say that giving goes up 50%, because in your mind, you've already set it as a discipline in your life, rather than, I got an extra 20 at the end of this week. Nope, he gets my very first, and it's just non-negotiable. I've already set it up, and my bank knows. It's already where it goes. That's another option for us as well. That might be an option for you. As we look to youth and to children, this is probably one of the biggest areas where we have had so many people that have served in our children's ministry for years and years and years that probably are getting a little weary. Let's just go ahead and take the probably out. They're getting weary, okay? And if you have kids, and I'm looking at basically Jen, not even, yeah, you still have Selah, me and Queries here, that would be in our children's ministry. But we're really, it's really an ask for the larger church. that if you're receiving the blessing that your family or your children are getting, can you also give back? And can you serve a Sunday in the second and third grade class? Can you serve in the fifth and sixth grade class and volunteer in those areas? And so that's a much larger ask that we want to make to our larger church. But sometimes, and this is definitely the crew that's with us tonight. You guys are here. You're giving your Tuesday night because you're already volunteering, and I know the kind of group that we have. But there's also like those brand new people that are just walking in. They're like, bro, we don't know you. You don't know us. We don't trust you, and you probably shouldn't trust us either until we get to know each other a little bit. And then there's some people kind of in that middle realm. It's like, yeah, I've been coming here for a year, maybe a little bit longer than that. I just don't know really where to get plugged in. Those are the people that we really want to try to make a connection. And so if you know some of them, on behalf of myself, on the behalf of Christian Ed, please say, hey, your kids are a part of this children's ministry. You're a part of this church. We would love for you to help in our children's ministry, serving on Sunday mornings. We have curriculum. It's an easy thing that you can help teach and be a part of those areas with our kids. So if your families are benefiting from some of those ministries, then jump in and serve in that ministry. In our youth ministry, this is an area where Pastor Scott could use some help if after he teaches, wants to break it down into some small groups. And maybe there's a group of junior high girls that are going to talk, you know, about junior high girl stuff. Wouldn't it be great if there was a woman up there that was breaking that stuff down and that was able to talk? What if there's multiple groups, and so Pastor Scott takes a group of senior high boys, but there's a group of junior high boys? And wouldn't it be great if there's another man, leader, that's able to talk and process and like, dude, what the heck is going on with my body right now? And I don't know what's happening. Oh, this is freaky. And they're like, been there, dude. Pretty crazy. And they start breaking it down. They start processing. And maybe dad's not in the house, but they've got a man of God that's able to every week talk and process some of those things. Please talk with Pastor Scott on some of that stuff, which also leads into campus life, FCA. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of Christian ministry life that's taken place. And I want to go back to that passage of scripture where I talked about that we've got that older generation passing it on to the young generation. And then the young generation passing it on, it says, to the babies not even born yet that they were telling the stories to. Now, while they were coaching the womb, even like they were so dedicated to the stories of God and the faithfulness of God getting to the next generation, that even in the womb, they were teaching these. One of the things that I would love to see happen is some of these Taylor students, and we're working on it now, is if they're in L-Ed or they're in Christian Ed, that part of their practicum would be that they would come over and they would teach in our classes that we do from K through 2 and then 3 through 6. And the problem with Taylor students is that they're just inconsistent in attendance because they're on fall break, they're on this break, they went home to see mom and dad this weekend, and they live out of state, they're going on a dorm retreat weekend, and so they're just, honestly, they're just bad church attenders. To no fault of their own, they're just engaged in the college life, and that's just the realities of college. But could they be committed to 2 Sundays a month? And would that take half of the year load off of us by Taylor being able to do that? That's some things that we're working on right now. Something that I would love to see happen, I've mentioned it a few times. I don't know how to do it because I know that I know where I'm committed on Sunday mornings. But somebody that would love to do when kids could possibly get checked into children's church right from the jump. And so it creates a distraction-free zone for parents to be able to worship when their kids immediately go down and they have kids worship. And they've got Hillsong Kids, and they're jumping, and they're clapping, and they're learning the dance moves, and they're doing how we worship Jesus, and this is the sun, and he sets, and right, all of that like Quaker Haven worship that we would be able to have for our children's ministry. That's just a vision, okay? That's not a reality. That's not going to happen next Sunday. But I just want to share a vision of my heart that we would have a children's church, and maybe it's just once a month. Maybe it's twice a month. I love worshiping with my kids. I love holding them. I love squeezing on them. I love holding their hands. I love lifting their hands up before the Lord. I'm modeling it. I'm leading them that way. But I also know that there's something cool when you can worship in an environment with your fellow, you know, little kids and do some of your own kids' worship. And I also know the freedom I have whenever nobody's, you know, pulling my pant leg and nobody's, you know, dropping juicy cups down my shoe. And there's just kind of that distraction-free zone also that we want to create as well. Here's something kind of fun, and this is a new vision. This is what we're calling Club 52. So Club 52 is for our children, and this is a weekly giving opportunity that goes directly to our children and student ministries, youth ministries. But here's the ask, is that as individuals, you would be willing to donate $1 a week for 52 weeks. $1 is all we're asking. And we're looking for 50 people that would be willing to donate $1, and you would be a part of Club 52. And so now, out of 50 people giving, let's just say, $50, is going to give us an extra $2,500 toward our children's ministry. How cool is that? For four quarters? Are you kidding me? For a buck a week? And you're a part of Club 52, and every quarter, what you get back is you get a card from the children's ministry that they've signed. Maybe it's a picture of some kids. It's a testimony. Hey, little Sally gave her heart to Jesus this last week. Hey, here's a picture of, what do we have, like five kids from our children's ministry that just got baptized, and you see a picture of that. This is what your giving is going to. Hey, guess what? We just did this coat drive, and we just gave 50 new coats to Park Elementary because of you as a member of Club 52. It is a small ask that could have a mega impact. What if we had 100 people that just said, yeah, I can give a buck? Are you kidding me? I can give a buck every week to Club 52, and you would just either throw that extra dollar in the offering, or we would have some sort of a card that we knew or an envelope that we knew that somehow would be separated out, but that you would be an official member of Club 52. And so that's going to go toward our children's ministry. As we look to like areas of discipleship as well, like Sunday school classes, our men's group, women's group, our life groups, I was looking back through some old emails recently, and we had just done a church survey on life groups. And how many of y'all would be interested? And then there was like levels of interest. And we did like three different levels. Vicky, do you remember this? I don't know if you remember these or not. But it was like, I'm willing to host. I'm willing to attend. I'm willing to lead. So the first one was, I'm willing to attend. And I'm willing to host. And I'm willing to lead. And I was able to like go back and like break down like who all was like, yeah, there's a lot of people that want to attend. There's like a little bit of people that want to host. There's like nobody that wants to lead. And but we kind of just started launching these life groups. And this is, I mean, everybody in here, I can tell that you guys are like a part of life groups. And I don't want to just be preaching to the choir, but I do want to underscore the importance of that. That is one of our main emphasis of ministry, is those life groups. Our men's group, in my personal opinion, may be our most powerful ministry that we've got going on, and I'm not connected with a ministry, with a women's ministry as much, and they could be absolutely crushing it. I'm just personally invested in these men, and I'll just tell you the life change that's happening in our men is pretty awesome. And so just a call out, be engaged in these areas of discipleship, and maybe even to lead, to host and to lead some of these areas. And then finally, I want to kind of hit this and we'll get out of here. The goal is to be done by 8. We will be. Is this. When it comes to this idea of ownership and it comes to owning the excellence of a ministry, recently I've been to a couple events at Taylor University that just blew my mind on the sharpness. Just the way that the whole service and the program was laid out. When I spoke at Taylor, you had to get there like so many minutes early. Then they mic you up, and the guy adjusted my mic for probably 30 to 40 seconds. I'm like, bro, like ours is duct taped on the side, and it's like killing my ear right now because it's all worn off, and it's jabbing into my skin. And he's like, okay, now pat down your beard. I'm like, okay. He's like, now twist your head. I'm like, okay. I mean, like every little particular thing mattered. They just thought through it. They just went over it. Everybody gets a handout sheet. This is the next song. Okay. So from 10 o'clock to 10 o'clock and 30 seconds, there's a welcome. There's a greet. Then the first song starts. And that song goes for 3.5 minutes. And then this one starts. And here's the reason why they have to be so structured. They've got to be out of there by whatever it is, 10:45, because class starts at 11, right? And so I understand the hard line, and I don't want to be so structured where we're like, hey, Alyssa, I know the anointing's happening right now. If you could just stop because you're going over time. I don't want that, but I do like the idea that somebody thought through this service in the best way possible to really create no distractions. We know where we're going, and we're going to encounter the Lord. Still with the freedom of the Spirit to be able to do some really fun stuff. We went to a service at Northview, and Northview's got 7 or 8 campuses around mainly Indianapolis and kind of the central Indiana. And they had, you know, they have like this campus pastor that comes up, does these announcements. His face is on the screen, but half of the screen goes off, and it's the announcement. Hey, Life Group is coming up next Tuesday. Boom, it's on there Tuesday. 7 o'clock, it's got the address. One other thing that we just want to remind you on is our you know, outreach to the local school. Boom, that thing just shows up, unless you get ready to worship. The band is right there. Boom, they go right into the worship, and it wasn't just like just some flighty worship. It was engaging the presence and just hanging in the presence. I'm a mess. I'm crying. They probably went 20, 25 minutes of just going after the Lord. The pastor just comes walking up, preaches the gospel for over half hour, and we're out of there. And I look at the clock, and I'm like, what? 57 minutes. I was like, that thing was chock full, wasn't it, Alyssa? And it wasn't a secret-sensitive message. We are a mess. We are crying. We're like, yes, Lord, okay, Jesus, like, messing with me. And, like, you can get a lot done when it is focused. And when there's all these other little things that are just kind of, you're just kind of running around, what's happening, what do you got, who's that, okay. And then you're like, right, are y'all with me? And when it just gets really thought out and really focused, man, boom. And I was like, 57 minutes, how'd they get all that thing done? It takes us 70 minutes and we didn't get done what they just did. And there was just such an excellence to the service. And so with that thing kind of in mind, what is it that I can do to own my peace? From the moment they walk in, from the moment they're seated, to whenever the children go down, to when this thing is happening, whatever those next pieces are, what can I own? And this book is called Extreme Ownership, and this Navy SEAL, Jocko, what's his name? Jocko Willison? Wilco? You know who I'm talking about? He's East Coast. He's one of the baddest dudes on the planet, too. But he wrote this book called Extreme Ownership. And he tells a story. He says there are 6 different rowboats with these guys in these boats, and they got to row out so far, and then once they get out there, they got to turn their boats back and then row back, and whoever gets back first wins. And so they row all the way back, and they come back in, and this one boat wins. He's like, all right, everybody load back up. They row back out, they come back, this exact same boat wins. They do this race like 3 or 4 times. The same boat wins, and the exact same boat always loses. And he goes, okay, I know what we'll do. The leader on this boat, you switch, and you go on the always losing boat. And the always losing leader, you go in the always winning boat. And let's race again. What do you think happened? Nothing. Okay, I'll tell you. Alyssa. Yeah. Have you heard this one before in the kitchen? Okay. And so as they do this race and they come back again, the team that always won, the exact same team, but they switched the leader to the losing leader, they lost. And the team that always lost, when they got a new leader that owned the thing, they were the ones that came in first and they won. And I just wonder, man, if I just took some extreme ownership of this committee, if I took some extreme ownership of this whole guest piece, if I took extreme ownership on the AV, and man, like, boom, everything is just locked in. Every week, boom, 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 boom. If I took an extreme ownership on the message or the presence of the Lord, and we're going to pray over people, whatever those areas are of, man, Life Group, and it's consistent, and I know every month this is where it's at, this is what's happening, this is the message, right? Those sort of pieces that I just fail to be awesome at. But if as a whole church we say, yes, we all can be excellent at something, at one of those pieces, I think the extreme ownership would be awesome. And then lastly, and I shared this last Sunday, but it seems to me that if you were involved in extracurriculars in your high school, there was more of a sense of school pride than only taking classes and then getting out of there. You're like, oh man, I was a part of our guys and gals. Let me tell you about our guys and gals. Let me tell you about that jazz band. Let me tell you about that. When I still got my jersey from high school, and it's hanging up on my wall in my office. It's like, ah, there's like some personal pride in that. And many times you get out what you put in. And if I'm just an attendee, I'm just kind of uninterested and disinterested. And then disinterest can kind of lead to frustration and even criticism. But whenever I'm way too busy to criticize. I don't even know what they're doing over there because I'm just so in my own thing, man. I'm getting after this thing. Oh, they did. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But let me tell you, man, we're crushing it, right? And it's like when you get locked in like a bulldog on a bone, you don't have time to criticize. You only have time to bring life. And so there's like some personal pride that comes with the more that you are engaged in something. A couple areas where I feel like we have gotten a little bit better with our communications is this piece right here. Pastor Andrew put this together. And it's about missions, what we do here locally, what we do around the world. These things are full color, double gloss on both sides. He's had these printed. This is a really good informational piece. It tells who our missionaries are, it tells who we support, what we do. It says, talks about, you know, our engagement in our community. I'll tell you this, the most active church in campus life in FCA is us. Who's leading the most youth ministry in the schools is us, particularly with Pastor Scott and with Pastor Andrew alongside Sam Yagi. And I think that we ought to have some pride in that, not in a weird, like, you know, religious pride, but it's like, yeah, man, like we are doing some good things here locally. This welcome piece as well, full color, it tells who we are. It tells what we believe. It lists all of our pastors. It lists when youth groups are, life groups, children's ministry, what to expect when you come to a friend's meeting. Here's all of our socials, how to get connected to the church. And again, all of our, unfortunately, Oak Hill colors, but we've designed this thing. Andrew has done a great job with branding and with our logo. A connection card whenever you come into the church. So here's your name. Here's how we can connect with you. Here's how we can maybe follow up with a phone call. Maybe there's a whole phone call crew, and they're like, man, if they're brand new, give me that card. I want to give them a call. And maybe, like, Pastor Andrew's like, hey, don't, like, invite them out on a date the first night that you meet them, right? But maybe it's just a card that they get 1 week, and within 2 weeks they get a phone call. You're like, yeah, I can own that. Perhaps it's somebody that says, you know what? I noticed that they haven't been here for a month, and so I'm just kind of paying attention to that sort of stuff. Not that we're taking attendance per se, but I'm just kind of aware, and I just wish that my mind thought that way. I just don't, and I just can't see all of those little moving pieces and to think that I need to call somebody. But maybe there's somebody like, man, you know what? If they haven't been here for a month, then they get a card in the mail. If they haven't been here for 6 weeks, they get a phone call. If it's been 2 months, they get a personal visit. But to where there's more work of the ministry that's happening that's out there that they're just able to say, yes, that's my piece, is I can do some personal home visits. I'll tell you this, in the last probably 2 to 3 years, especially, maybe 3 to 4 years, our church has gotten younger while everyone is getting older. Does that make sense? And so we have gained, our mean average is younger, but we're all aging. And so as people keep aging, your health just fails, right? And you have to stay home sometimes, or maybe you're in a nursing home, or maybe you're in, and you need visitation. And while that is the work of the pastor, it's also the work of the church body. And so those say, yes, I know that I can do visitation. I know that I can go into that nursing home. I know that I can sit bedside and just, you know, play some crossword puzzles and, you know, bring somebody a piece of cake that they probably shouldn't be eating. I can do some of those things. I want to own that piece. He's also created this. This is our business card. Really kind of cool. But just the simplicity of it. It just says, join us for worship, 10:30. Address, phone numbers, how to connect. So these are also our business cards. Maybe you're inviting somebody to church and you're like, man, I don't know how to lead them to the Lord. I don't know what to say. But here's somebody who does. Please come to church. This could be your witness. And it's a sharp business card right there, how they can get connected. One more little piece, and this is really sharp. I like this. It's called Soul Shift. And maybe it's a new person, and whenever they come in, this can be in their gift basket as well. They're like, what am I doing in this service, and what I want to have happen in my heart? And this is specifically as it comes to our silent worship time, but it can be during any time, part of the service. As you participate in worship, listen to what the Spirit is saying to you during every aspect of worship, from before the service to the sending. What do you think God is saying to you? What is keeping you from doing this? If you were to do it, what might be a good first step? Who will you tell or who will you ask for help? And on the back, it just has this prayer. It's just like, God, I just pray that you would help me in this. And it's got a prayer for you, just a soul shift. These are really great communication pieces that we now have. I believe that just helps us be a ministry of excellence. That's just one more step forward. As we wrap tonight, I know that there's so much more that we can do. I know there's a lot that we are doing. I don't want anybody to walk away tonight feeling like, man, I'm just not doing enough. I've got to give more. I got to do more. That is the work of the enemy, because that is not the heart at all. That has never been said once, but he'll try to whisper that. And then this whole thing, this is disappointing. And you, no. No one's disappointed. We are so fired up. There is so much good that's happening here. And that's why there's just like this little family meeting. It's like, thank you for serving. Is there anything else in your heart that you're saying, yes, I want to own it? As you think through how we're effectively trying to reach people, hey, maybe we could do this a little bit different. Maybe we could do this a little bit better. Please, because we have ideas, but I'm sure y'all have better ones. And so please share better ideas. And how can we create these atmospheres that people can worship the Lord, hear the word of God, have encounters, maybe it's at the altar or in their own pews, and they can walk away knowing that they were loved on, they were liked, they were hugged, they were thought through, and they were connected before they left this place. And their kids were loved on like crazy too. Like, those are the things that we want to continue to think about. And so, guys, thank you so much. Let's keep our hearts right before the Lord, because I believe that the more that we serve with integrity of heart and we have skillful hands in ministry, God will continue to bless the work of Fairmount Friends. I want to pray for us tonight. And if anybody does have some questions that you just want to hang around, Pastor Andrew and I are going to be around to just hang out. And if you guys want to ask questions, please do. Also, nobody leave here without a wheel, a wheel cart full of food, a wheelbarrow full of food, and or at least take a plate or two. You can leave the breadsticks, but just take some of the pasta. But we'll pray, we'll hang out, and then please do grab some food. Jesus, we thank you so much for the work of the ministry that's happening here. We thank you, Jesus, for your blessing upon Fairmount Friends. God, we ask you that we would be a ministry of excellence. God, we ask you that we would keep our small town country charm, but God, that it would not limit us from dreaming big and making an impact in the place that you've planted us. Lord, we pray that our hearts would just stay connected to you as we tell the stories to the next generation, as we serve the people that are coming to know you, as we serve our kids and our youth, as we serve our elders, and we think of our older people and our middle aged people, our young aged people. Lord, we just pray that this would be a ministry that's able to do all of those really, really well. Lord, we pray that you would not take your Holy Spirit from us, but continue to empower this ministry. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.